The first reading is from Psalm 8, and this is adapted from Nan C. Merrill interpretation. O God, my beloved, how powerful is your name in all the earth. You, whose glory is sung in heaven by the angels and saints, who with the innocence and spontaneity of a child confound those who are mighty and proud. You quiet the unloving and fearful. When I look up at the heavens, at the work of God's creation, at the infinite variety of your plan, what is woman that you rejoice in her, and man that you do delight in him? You have made us in your image. You fill us with your love. You have made siblings of all created, caring partners of the planet, to care for all your creatures, to tend the land, the sea, and the air we breathe. All that you have made, you have placed in our hands. O God, my beloved, how powerful is your name in all the earth. The second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 to 13 from the New Revised Standard Version. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Thus ends the readings.
Thank you, Liz. Over the years, Kirsten and I have had the opportunity to teach a lot of classes focused on sustainability oftentimes, and we oftentimes use the wisdom and the values and the traditions of Hawaii pre-Western contact to illustrate some of the latest theories and understandings in the world of sustainability. And one of the things that we oftentimes talk about is the ahupua'a. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with the concept of the ahupua'a, you might think of it as sort of a land division. Initially, folks look at it as a means of a land division. So if you imagine that this pillow was an island, at the center of the island is a mountain peak, and going down from that mountain peak would be ridges that would line the valleys that make up the island, that the water would flow through those. And those ridges would define like a triangle. That is the ahupua'a. And within that ahupua'a system, a community might well live. And within that system, all that they needed for their survival would be found, or they would be able to share with one another. But that ahupua'a was a system of land division on one level. On a completely different level, it was also the ahupua'a was a system of land management. It's a system of land management because as the Hawaiian people understood it, and they looked at this island, and they looked to the center of the island, and they looked to the clouds that were forming there above the mountaintops, and they saw the rains that would come down from the mountains there, from the clouds down to the mountaintops, and then going down through streams and rivulets and all to work its way down, they understood that what was important was to manage that water. To manage that water as it fell down upon those mountains and made its way ultimately not just to the ocean, but actually out beyond the reef. It was, in fact, a system of land management that was stewardship of a watershed. And so we think about that, folks that live on the mainland, there will be all sorts of work that is done to protect and preserve a watershed. The Hawaiian understanding of the ahupua'a was an understanding of maintaining that watershed. So on the one level, it's just land division. At a little bit deeper level, it is a methodology of water management, of water stewardship, of land management. But at a deeper level, it's a deeply spiritual reality that they're talking about. The understanding that the Hawaiian people had is there at the top of the mountains, descending down through the ahupua'a, the upper part of the ahupua'a was an area that they called the Vau Akua, the realm of the gods. is the place where Sky Mother Papa and Sky, or Earth Mother Papa and Sky Father Wakea come together. And when the waters come together from up and above, they create those mists that we get the word mystery and mystical from. They create those mists. And so as we stand even this day and we look towards the Mauka and we look towards the mountains, we see the clouds and the mists that are upon there. And they understood that as the Vau Akua, the realm of the gods. And though the understanding, the religious spiritual understandings of the Hawaiian people are in many ways different from the biblical understandings that many of us may have been raised for, in other ways they are completely one and the same. They are an understanding that understands the sacredness of God's creation. And so when we hear Liz read Psalm 8, and we hear, O God, my beloved, how powerful is your name in all the earth, you whose glory is sung in the heavens. When I look up at the heavens, when I look at the work of creations, and there's this psalm of celebration, and as we look at the stories, as we look at the stories that populated the world of the Hawaiian people, the stories of Madame Pele and her sister Hi'iaka, stories of Kamupua'a and so many of the other deities and the demigods of the Hawaiians' understanding, they are stories that tell us of a realm that is in which the divine is absolutely alive in all that we see, in all that we experience, in all that is present to us in the Vau Akua, that place where few of us go into is a place that is that realm of that mystery and wonder. But as the psalmist says here, you have made us, the psalmist says, in your image. You have filled us with your love. You have made us siblings of all that has been created, caring partners of the planet. So too, do the Hawaiian people understand that as those waters moved through the Vau Akua, there was a kuleana, there was a responsibility, there was a gift that the people had to manage that which was coming to them, that which they hadn't been blessed with. And so for many folks, the understanding of the Ahupua'a is simply to imagine a water drop falling there at the top of the mountain and managing and making sure that that water drop, as it works its way ultimately to beyond the reef, is able to remain pure and unblemished and filled with the very goodness of creation that it came out of. And so when we move from the Vau Akua for the Hawaiian people, we move to the Vau Kanaka, the plains where the people lived. And in those plains where the people lived, where the water began to slow down and it wasn't rushing so much through streams and rivulets, it was then entering into a place where there would be awai, these channels that were created to pull the water into taro patches, lo'ikalo, into taro patches, into places where food was. And it was a brilliant system, for as water came down and was diverted into this taro patch, the very roots of the taro would begin to filter that water so that when it came out of the patch, lower down, it came out cleaned, so that by the time it now flowed into the ocean, it all sediments, all other things that might make it less than clean had been filtered out. And it went into the ocean. So there at the place where the waters, where the ocean and the land met, was the place of the most great fertility of fish and other sea life that they were able to harvest in ways that in which they watched and made sure that they did not overdo or overtake. And what I love about this understanding of the Ahupua'a that is part of what we have here in Hawaii, part of our history, part of our legacy, is embedded in that understanding and that system is a spirituality. It is a spirituality that understands that these gifts all come to us from the divine. And we are gifted with the task within our human community. We are gifted with the task within our human community to take those gifts and to utilize them in the psalm as it reads, not from the interpretation that we have, but in the interpretation, the NRSV, the New Revised Standard Version, the word dominion appears. The same word that you hear in Genesis chapter 1 when it says, and God gives to humankind after they have been created dominion over all that has been created, a word that has been mistranslated to think it's domination. But instead, in the Hebrew understanding, it is to rule, it is to exist as if all that is there is your brothers and your sisters. And so there, within that Hawaiian understanding of this islands that we live in, is embedded the very same understanding that after we move from our appreciation of the divine with the very same spirit in which all has been created, we are then called to live with one another. And so we hear these words from 2 Corinthians. Paul wrote these letters to the church at Corinth. We have 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. There's actually, scholars tell us, probably about four letters in there that have been mashed together in different ways. We know 1 Corinthians so well. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul, in some of the most profound and poetic words ever written, talks about love. Love is patient and kind. It is not irritable. It is not resentful. It is forgiving. Faith, hope, and love abide. The greatest of these is love, for love never fails. These are the words that Paul has entrusted to the church of Corinth. And as he is saying his final goodbye, because Corinth is a long ways away from his home of Tarsus, as he is going on the way of his missionary journey, he bids them to understand that very same reality, that just as we have a kuleana as a responsibility to care for the creation, we also have that kuleana, that responsibility in the vau kanaka, in the land of the humans, to care for one another in the same way. And so he says to them these beautiful words, finally, brothers and sisters, put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. And when I hear that word, greet one another with a holy kiss, when I hear that collection of words that is those few verses at the end of 2 Corinthians, I realize that what Paul is doing is he is saying to the community, the very love that the world has been created with is the way you are to organize yourselves. We are a community now of close to 8 billion human beings. That's a lot of people. We are the most dominant force on the planet. And we are forced to organize ourselves in one way or another. And you can choose to organize yourself by force. You can choose to organize yourself by one method or another. And Paul says, organize yourself around love. That's it. That is the principle that we, the community of faith, are called to organize ourselves around love. For God has created a world that is organized in the very same way. The creation that we are part of, not apart from, is a creation set and organized around love, which balances everything, which calls everything into being, and which makes our lives wondrous and joyful. And he says to greet one another with a holy kiss. And I think about the gift, the tradition that we have in Hawaii of not just hugging and kissing one another, but the honi, in which we put our foreheads together with one another, and we both breathe in, and we breathe out, and we breathe in that sense of aloha ha breath, the very breath of the divine that we share with one another, greet one another with a holy kiss. I'm sure the Hawaiians, when they first heard that, they immediately thought of to honi with one another, to share the breath of the divine, because if we share that breath of the divine and organize ourselves around love, then the world is vastly different than a world that is organized around so many other self-centered possibilities. We look to the mountains. We look to the Vauakua. We understand the divine is present in all that we do. The waters, the love flows into us. We are called than to take that very love and to share it with one another. For in the sharing, it passes through us just as the waters pass through that ahupua'a into that ocean, because we know not how, but that love will eventually evaporate itself into the ocean and return again to flow again and again. We do not want to be that which blocks it. We want to be that which cleans and filters the gifts that God has given to us and allow it to flow in this world and everywhere. And so we gather on a day like today around a table like this, and I can just imagine Jesus on that last night looking at his disciples gathered around the table with him, knowing indeed that those disciples who at this point are a community of 12 or so, that those disciples will one day soon be forming their own communities or 12 of 12 or so. And from those communities of 12 or so would be more communities and more communities that are formed. When Paul is writing to Corinth, he's writing to a church that is 1,000 or so miles away from Jerusalem, where that first supper is, and it is just a generation later. And they're just traveling by foot. And Jesus is looking at every one of those disciples and knowing that they are going to create a community, and communities will grow from them. And if all goes well, it's because they will be a community of love. And I know that he looks at Matthew and he looks at Andrew and he looks at Peter and all the others, and he looks at them with eyes of love. He looks at them with eyes of love. And if eyes could shift a heart, they would. For he would shift their hearts from the pain they're about to have to the joy that they will also possess. He imparts that love. And every time we gather around that table, we receive that love. Every time we gather as community, we share and receive that love that we may pass it on. For that is the way that God has called this world into being, and that is the way that God has called us to be. And so we gather around a table that, though it was the Last Supper, it is also the First Supper of communities of love that will be generated for now thousands of years. So let us be part of that. So we remember that on the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took a loaf of bread and he broke it. He said, "This is my body which has been broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup and he poured the wine into the cup, and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, which has been shared for you as well. Do this also in remembrance of me. Share this as well, for as you give of your life in love, as you give of your life, love will go forth." The Hawaiians say, "He aloha aku, he aloha mai." Love that is given is love that is received. There is the gospel in miniature. We are called to love. So ministering in his name, I invite you all to come forward, not to come forward. I invite our Kokua team to come forward, and they will share the bread that is over here. If you need gluten-free, raise your hand. Over here is the glutenated bread that we have, and table is set. Let us share with one another. Amen.